Today's audiocast for Friday, August 25th, is sponsored by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. It's no secret that times are good in the aviation industry, but we also know that external forces can have a major effect on the success of aviation businesses. There's been a lot going on in aviation in the last little while, and Richard Abalafia, an aviation analyst with the Teal Group Consultants firm in Washington, makes his living by predicting how world events and, perhaps more importantly, the general economy affects the aviation industry. AvWeb's Russ Niles spoke with Abalafia about a wide range of topics.
First of all, how about we just characterize the industry as it stands at the moment and maybe where it's headed?
Well, the broader industry is doing just fantastically. I've been around the industry for 20 years and I've never seen it firing on all cylinders. The military side doing just fine, commercial jetliners doing just fine for the most part, and business jets doing pretty darn good too. And since much of the industry is fully exposed as mezzanine subcontractors to all of these, they're generally doing very well indeed.
We know that it's cyclical. How long is this upswing going to last, do you think?
Well, when you look at the business jet industry, you see an industry that had been somewhat cyclical historically and then underwent a terrific transformation in the second half of the 90s. It almost quadrupled by value. And then, of course, you had the great come down of 02, 03, when the market fell by 40%. But now it's back up again, and you look at where we are, approaching 14 to 15 billion in deliveries, and we're in an unprecedented zone. So if it is cyclical, we've lost any connection with past cycles. We're in uncharted territory. If you have to look at the broader economy for guidance, it's really tough to say, except that corporate profits are still pretty good. They might be peaking by some economists' expectations, but they're still pretty good. So we've likely got at least another 12 months of good times.
You seem to be of the opinion that if they could, everybody would fly in a business jet, but it depends on economics and not on the personal wishes of the CEO.
I think that's one of the more interesting aspects of the business jet industry. It's been transformed into a very effective tool. It's no longer Harrison Ford and the CEO of IBM flying around in the biggest planes. You have an awful lot of business jets out there doing, well, work-a-day work, just flying some mid-level managers and engineers between sites and an old Citation II. That's the good news. The bad news is that companies' ability to engage in that form of transportation really is linked to their ability to make money. In other words, what you see is what you get. You're not going to see a whole lot of impulse demand migrating over to this sector just because people suddenly feel like doing it.
Well, there are forecasts that somewhere, somehow, 3,000 more business jets, more precisely very light jets, are going to be sold in the next few years. And I understand you have some insight on that, too.
Well, I really don't understand where the magic is going to come from with these very light jets. I mean, what you've got is two very traditional markets, owner-operator, which is great. This will be a nice adjunct to that. And then you've got the charter business, which is nice, modest, and this will be a nice little enhancement to that. But then you've got this myth that all of a sudden air taxis will suddenly start taking high-end passengers away from airlines, which is bizarre given the route profiles and flight expectations. And even stranger is the insistence of some air taxi advocates that they're going to compete with the family car. That's Herb Kelleher's job over at Southwest Airlines. It's not the job of someone offering $5 a mile business jet flight.
So what's going to happen? There are some companies that are building their business model around the air taxi market. What's going to happen to them?
The market has spoken quite eloquently. People always focus on the folks who want to build jets, the Atom Aircraft, of course, Eclipse, and then the established players, Cessna and Embraer. But people don't take a moment to look at the dead bodies around us, whether it's Sapphire or Century or AASI or most recently the Avocet ProJet. In other words, we've seen a lot of failures, and I expect we haven't seen all of the failures. I think the key to succeeding in this market is to take it on a very modest basis, to say we're going to keep our costs low, our expectations reasonable, invent something new, and see if we can add value. But people expecting to build hundreds and hundreds of these things on their own, they're going to suffer an unpleasant surprise.
Well, a lot has been sort of based on this upsurge in traffic in the upper airways, and the FAA has bought into those number projections. It's going to affect all of us in one way or another, don't you think?
I don't know. The FAA, of course, is in charge of predicting growth. Whether that growth comes from regional jets or broader scheduled air service demand, doesn't matter. They're in charge of confidently predicting growth because, of course, that allows their budgets to go higher, their salaries to go higher, their spending plans to go higher. And they've enthusiastically embraced the prospect of air taxis as the next growth mantra. In other words, just because they say it's going to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Well, I guess we've seen that in the past with other predictions of rapid growth, and they just haven't materialized. Like the post-war boom is one area that I can think of immediately.
The post-war increase in demand for private jet service, I think, is going to stand as one of the bigger myths of our time, as a matter of fact. It's kind of interesting. You look at the annual talk after 9/11 about a great uptick in demand, and I'm sure it happened. I'm sure there was a sudden surge of interest in air charter or what have you, but if you look at actual deliveries, a straight ride down after 9/11, and that's what speaks eloquently. Now, from the standpoint of the latest concern that after the Heathrow incident that there might be a migration over, they might have reached a tipping point where the expectations at Heathrow, absolutely no carry-on baggage, might have been basically a tipping point, just getting people over to private jets, if not en masse, then at least finally getting the reluctant fence-sitters to just do exactly that. But they quickly reversed themselves and said, okay, you can take a small bag. I think they realized that that might have just been the final straw for a bunch of people at the high end. But unless they're going to do that on a consistent basis, make scheduled air service truly miserable, then you're going to see what you've always seen, which is that when corporations have and make money, they buy a more expensive form of travel, and when they don't, they don't.
Well, what about for the rest of us down in VFR and low IFR territory? How does the general aviation market look for the next little while, do you think?
Not bad. You know, there's another interesting prediction that didn't quite come out after the general aviation liability reforms of the early and mid-90s. Everyone expected this would be thousands and thousands per year, and it's grown modestly. It's not a bad market, and there's some promising new models, but it's still a relatively modest market. You're not seeing a return to the great old days of small private aviation, the 1950s and the 1960s. Those are the kind of numbers we'd all like to see again, but it's just not going to happen because, sadly, it's a smaller percentage of the population that's really interested in pursuing general aviation as a hobby. And organizations like GAMA and AOPA have done wonders in trying to promote interest in private flying, but of course there's just so much you can do in an age of Xboxes and mass tourism.
Do we have a pilot shortage?
Well, you might see some inflationary pressures, which frankly might be welcome after the deflationary pressures of the past few years. But I don't think we're at the point of a shortage yet. And obviously the regional jet carriers have done wonders at creating new pilots at relatively low cost. So even though there could be some upward pricing pressure, upward wage pressure, we have nothing really tangible to go on yet.
You've been listening to a conversation with Richard Abalafia of the Teal Group. Comments are always welcome via email at audionews@afweb.com. And don't forget afweb.com for the latest in aviation news this week. This report was sponsored by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. To subscribe or for more information, click on the AudioCast sponsors link. Our next AudioCast will be available this Monday, August 28th. For the AvWeb Audio News Team, I'm Mike Blakeney reporting.